Father God, thank you. Thank you for this moment, this opportunity, the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being with us and being for us and dwelling in us. And thank you for new beginnings, Lord. And thank you for canceled sin. And the debt has been paid in full, and we don't have to worry and fear and live in shame or regret. But God, we press into the new day. You make all things new, and great is your faithfulness. Yes, your mercies are new every morning, God. Hallelujah. We're pressing on. We're pursuing your heart today, Father, because we want to know you, God. Lord, we don't want to just learn about you. We want to know you. And this is eternal life. So, God, I ask you to anoint our ears to hear and just, Lord, grant us fresh bread. Grant us the living word today, Lord. By your Spirit, minister through this vessel of clay, Lord. I realize apart from you, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. But you are my strength. You are my ability today, Lord. And I trust you. And I pray, Father, that you would activate the body of Christ, Lord, to step out onto the water where you are. To see your hand move mightily through our lives, God, to touch and to heal and to transform lives, to birth hope in the hopeless. We love you and thank you for allowing us to serve you. It is our reasonable service, but it is our honor and our privilege as well. So, Lord, we commit this time, this teaching into your hands. Direct me by your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. You know, sometimes, folks, we think our calling is what we feel like doing. And I'm hoping that today I will shed a little more light on that subject, because we are so often, if we're honest and about it, we're led by our emotions, by our feelings. And I want to talk about the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love. Pursue love. And that's the title of today's message, is pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. And I don't know how many times I have read that and kind of blasted over that first part and got to the desire spiritual gifts part. Especially in Pentecostal charismatic circles, you know, we're very zealous for the gifts of the Spirit, and we want to see God move. And God is moving, by the way. Yeah. Amen. But those are just fringe benefits. Of that flow out of the heart of God, out of His heart of love, agape. That word is agape, and I want to talk about again the different names that we find in the Greek for love, so that we understand what type of love we're actually functioning in. Sometimes we're actually functioning in human natural love, and we call that God's love. So we need to define what is love. What does agape mean? And so I want to begin with 1 Corinthians 13:1. And I'm just going to read it to you because it's, unless you have an NLT, it says this. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now that word throughout these verses is agape, and we need to understand that. And verse 2 says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The only thing that is going to remain is that which has been done in the love, the agape love of God. Whatever we do in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord, amen, will remain. Whatever we've done selfishly will be wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? It won't remain. So, Gill said this, to follow hard after. That word pursue means to follow hard after it. with an eagerness used in hunting. How many guys here ever go hunting? You know how you want to get out on the hunt and you just, you're looking for whatever if it's a buck, you're looking for that buck and you're on the alert, you're pursuing, you're doing, you're spending yourself physically of hiking and walking and, and even sometimes sitting in a stand and shaking for hours, Been there, done that, somebody, right? And, but it's a pursuit of something. So, it also means to follow after, to give yourself to press towards love. Give yourself to love. Follow hard after it. Now, number one, modern Christianity pursues pleasure. God is not anti-pleasure, folks, but pleasure has often become our God. It has become an idol that has hindered us and prevented us from fulfilling the will of God for our lives. The modern church today pursues pleasure. And it's a shame, but that's what's happening. And I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, as Paul is admonishing Timothy here about the last days. He says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Now that word rather can also mean more than. So the King James says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is going to characterize the last days. Are we not living in those days? And folks, we have to guard ourselves as people who claim to follow Jesus because the world can very easily infest us, influence us. And we can sometimes adopt the things that the world presents as our gospel, as our truth. We can create a God of our own choosing and become idolatrous. We can say, well, I read about that Jesus, but my Jesus is going to be like this to me because I like the Jesus that I choose for myself. How many know that God is God? Amen. He doesn't change. We're the ones that need to change. We need to conform. Amen. He's not going to conform to our image, but we try to do that. That's called idolatry. Now, let me ask you a question. If there was no pleasure in serving the Lord, would you still serve Him? Second question, is Jesus really Lord of your life? What does it mean to call Him Lord? It means that I'm no longer my own property. I belong to Him. He bought me in full, amen, with His own blood. I'm under His ownership, under His authority now. I was on the slave block getting ready for execution, amen. They were going to put me away. And Jesus intervened. And He paid the price to liberate me from that certain death so that I could walk with Him today in freedom. As a son, no longer a slave, but a son, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir to the throne, hallelujah, as a child of God. What kind of love do you possess? What kind of love do I possess? What kind of love for God do I possess? I don't know, it was a couple of years ago, I handed out, it was a little handout, and there was five types of love words in the Greek language. And I want to read a couple of these to you. If you can write these down if you'd like, but I'm going to go kind of fast, so you got to be a speed writer. The number one is, this is called mania love. This is, it's really almost not love at all, but this is love of possession. I love that which I obsessively desire to own. You know, you could say, man, I really love pizza. You know, oh, I really like cars. I really love that car. Or, We can obsess even over things. You know what I'm talking about? Certain interests or hobbies you have. You can, if you're not careful, you can obsess over these things. And we can refer to that with the word love. I love doing that. That's a mania love. It also has to do with manic, where, you know, we get kind of like a crazy kind of love, you know. And now another one is eros love, you know, where we get the word erotic. But it doesn't just describe sexual love. Hollywood has kind of taken it and run with it and you know, and uses it in that context. But it really means an emotional love. It's the feeling of love, the feeling of love. Oh, he loves me. I feel so loved. She loves me. I feel so loved. Right? The feeling of love. It's that insatiable desire to be near the target of this love. So you want to be near that person because you feel the love. Right? And the other one is philos. Philos love is like a brotherly friendship love, you know? It's the love between two people who have common interests. So, you know, you may have a hobby that you enjoy together. You may like to hunt together. You like may like to crochet together. You know, whatever it might be. But we have common bonds, you know, things that we do. And it brings us together. You know, you may enjoy a certain movie and you go to the movie and guess what? You're going to have philo love there too. You know, we're all going to hang out and watch this movie together. I don't know who you are, but we have a similar interest and we're hanging out. And this is a love that steadily grows. It's like a building being constructed stone by stone. So this kind of love can grow, and like a brotherly love, amen. And it's not necessarily evil love, okay? It's a fellowship type of love, but it's not the love that we need to be pursuing, because in 1 Corinthians 14 it says pursue agape, amen. So let's look at another one. Another one is the word storge love. This is what we may call motherly love. I think about stork, storge or stork. So it kind of connects me to what it is, you know, like the baby being delivered, you know. And it's commonly called motherly love. It's entirely based on the relationship between the lover and the lovee. So this is an important love. Would you say amen, ladies, that you love your children, amen, your babies. And you know, because they're your baby, you know. They're your baby, and so you love your baby. But it's still not agape love. Amen? It falls short of what God is calling you and I to as followers of Jesus. It's important, but we really need the highest love of all, and that is agape. And this is entirely about the lover. It's about the lover and has nothing whatsoever to do with the one loved. This is the kind of love in John 3:16, for God so agapeo'd the world. That it wasn't because we loved him or cared or wanted anything to do with God, but God loved us first. In its purest form, it requires no payment or favor in response. In other words, it's not with favors. Much of what we do, folks, has favors. We will hang out with, talk to, bless people who we know can bless us back. That's not the love of God. Amen? The most common word for God's love is agape, and this lack of input from the recipient makes it possible for us to love our enemies, even though we may not like them or the situation they have put us in. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, the natural man will look at that and says, that's ridiculous. Who can love an enemy? Well, naturally speaking, or natural love, you're absolutely right. It's impossible by natural affection to love an enemy. There has to be a higher love in you in order for you to do this. Jesus showed up on the scene and he challenged us to think outside of the box that we had been used to living in. You know, this had been my experience. And 300 years, as far back as 300 years prior to the cross, to Jesus showing up on Christmas Day, you know, that word agape had been blotted out of the Greek language. And it was the philosophers that did that. And they replaced agape love, like, you know, Aristotle and Plato, with eros love. So agape was replaced with eros. And so even in the, if you will, in Israel, and at that time when Jesus showed, he showed up in a time when it was very dark. Very dark. Because the love of God had been snuffed out. There had been no revelation. Everybody kind of did their own thing. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they did their own thing. And they prided themselves in their knowledge. And see, the other word is philo, love. Also, where we get the word philosophy. Philosophy. Philo is wisdom and sophy is love. It's the love of wisdom. And you see, some people think that Christianity is about getting more information, acquiring more knowledge, to be smarter in the debate. You understand? The Word of God is there to point us to the Word, capital W, of God, Jesus Christ, that we might know Him personally and intimately, and that His agape, His superior love, this love is a love that is to flow Godward out. In other words, from the heart of the Father, agape love can flow. It is not possible for human beings to express this type of love. We must have that love in us. If you do not have agape love, if you do not have that love in you, that higher love, that selfless love, then you are not saved. And unfortunately, the churches have accommodated and provided an atmosphere for people where they feel coddled and comfortable, and they do what people want so that people will come, and yet they're not teaching them that you must die to yourself in order to live in God. And so we use these other forms of love, and we come to church sometimes because my friends come, and I meet with my buddies there, and we hang out and we talk and we have a good time. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. But the love of God goes beyond having a friend there, or somebody shake your hand, or even noticing you, or even somebody loving or liking you. I go there because people are, they're nice to me. They like me. Sometimes God's going to call you into an assignment where it's not so pleasant, where people don't like you. As a matter of fact, people will hate you. But that's where you come in, blasting the agape of love, amen, God's agape love, into a situation where there's darkness and the light of Christ expels it. It melts hearts. I love you because I love you. I don't love you because if I love you, you'll love me back and do something nice for me. I love you because I can't help but love you because God's love is in me and flowing out of me. So many people will not do anything, even for God, unless there's something in it for them. They won't even come to church unless there's something in it for them. They're not operating in agape love. It's eros love. It's the feeling of love. Folks, it happens in marriages too. I lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. I mean, love has got to go deeper than just a loving feeling. To commitment, amen? And sticking it out and working together, and your love grows deep. There's going to be times when you feel that loving feeling, other times when you don't. We need the love of God, amen, working in us. It's taken Jesus and I to a whole different level in our relationship. It's amazing how God has worked. The first 5 years, they were combative. But I'm okay now. Yeah. We won't go there. It's under the blood. Agape love is not in any way dependent on circumstances. It says, I love you because I choose or commit to. Do you hear it? Agape in its perfect form only exists from God outward. This kind of love is about a commitment to the very best for another, no matter what emotions or feelings exist. And in the King James, of course, we know that love is translated as what? Charity. Amen? Now in 1 John 4:16 it says this, and we know and believed the love that God has for us. God is agape. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. How many have used that before? God is love. We have bumper stickers, God is love, right? We send texts, God is love. That's absolutely right. But we need to understand what love is. What does that mean? Because sometimes our view of love is totally self-consumed. It's not about God at all. And even in the church, folks, there's a lack sometimes of the true love of God, the agape love of God. So God wants to take every one of us higher. I think we have a lot of love in this church. I think we do. We love each other. I say all the time, you know what? This is a church that loves each other, but they like each other too. You know, we love each other and we like each other too. And that's important, you know. But what if you have a falling out? What if you have a disagreement? What if somebody offends you? First of all, if I'm getting offended, it means I'm not armored up like I should be. Amen. Not prayed up like I should be. But if I do, how do I handle it? Well, agape love says, you know what? If you curse me, I'm going to bless you. Yeah. Amen. If you despitefully use me and persecute me, I'm going to pray for you. That's God's love. Yeah. And you will do it not with a, well, if I have to, I'll love you. You know, it's actually God working in you, both to will and to do of it. That was a good pleasure. So prior to Jesus, folks, nobody practiced agape love. It was all eros. It was all about, you know, love with favors. You know, I like you. Oh, I like you too. You know, you don't like me. Well, I don't like you. That's how it was. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth under the law. But it's a selfish love. Eros is a selfish love. It means to seek after something better. Eros love means to seek after something better. I'll give you an example. If you give your child a toy, well, if you have adult children, I wouldn't recommend it, but if you did. If you gave your child a toy, they would say, oh, cool, I've been really wanting one of these. And then a stranger comes up and gives a better toy to your child. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? They have shifted from you to someone they don't even know because they are pursuing something better. It's not agape love. It's a selfish love called eros. So let me give it to you this way. Some people shop for churches. We shop around for churches. How about the will of God? Pray, seek the Lord. It's okay to visit churches to find out. You know, sometimes you got to test the water. But I go to that church because, man, they got awesome worship there. Or I go to that church because, man, I really like that preacher. You know, obviously you're not here for that reason. But or I go to that church because the people are friendly. You know, oh, I go to that church because, man, they have a really awesome children's program. Folks, that is not God's love. That is an accommodation, okay, for people. Because, let's face it, especially if you go down into the Bible Belt down in the South, the churches are in such competition down there. For who has the biggest and the best and the most comfortable seats? And I really like the feeling of these pews. Oh, yes. Right? Or the color of the carpet. My goodness, I'd never go to that church. They got gray carpet in there. You know, and sometimes we're seeking after things selfishly. Now, people that don't know God, we have to expect that. Amen. And I think we should have a comfortable place for people to come. Amen. I don't want to sit in an uncomfortable place. But folks, that's not what we're pursuing. We're pursuing the heart of God. And when we come together in unity with the purpose of seeking the Lord together, amen, to pursue Him, then that is heaven. There is heaven in the atmosphere. It's the place I want the atmosphere. I don't care about the building. Amen. I want His presence. And it doesn't have to be a huge crowd. If we have two or three gathered and we're together in unity to seek the heart of God, there's heaven. That's what we want. And I want the love of God to flow in and out of my life. I want to be filled. I want it shed abroad in my heart. How about you? Sometimes, folks, it's just not the focus is not the will of God. But we can come even with a, what am I going to get out of it today? And if I come and something didn't go the way I thought it should have gone, somebody was rude to me, or he said something that made me very uncomfortable, I'm out of here. Why? Because you're not coming for the right reason. You're operating actually in natural love. And you may think that you're a loving person, but folks, apart from Christ, we're not lovely people. We need God's love. Apart from Christ, we can get along as people are nice to us, but if they're not nice to us, guess what? The battle's on. I have watched people, maybe you have too, even in my own life. You can go from one extreme to the next in a few minutes' time. If we're functioning just from the natural, everything is going my way. Somebody cuts you off. You know, you can just shift just like that. That's the natural man. The natural man is fickle. People are very fickle. Would you agree? The agape love of God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. He was love or agape manifested in flesh. It's not the receiving kind of love. Every other type of love has rewards or benefits for the one giving the love, even motherly love. But people pursue pleasure and attention, and they're going to go wherever they will be noticed and feel appreciated. This is not agape love, but eros love. Some people will leave a church because they didn't feel appreciated. My question is, if you are a soldier enlisted in the Lord's army, and he's the commander in chief, and the orders come down from headquarters and say, I'm calling you to go to Africa, or I'm calling you to go to some place that maybe you would have never thought of going to or ever desired to go to. But if the orders are cut and sent down, and you being a soldier, are you going to say, well, I don't think I like that assignment? Or we say, you know, God may be calling you into a situation where, you know, you're not comfortable. He may even put you, I've known people that have been in very almost anti-charismatic type churches, but they were very charismatic, but it was their assignment. And God had them in there like special forces, you know, they were kind of in there to be salt and light for the Lord. Amen. But it was difficult assignment, but the grace of God was on them and the love of God was flowing out of them. They couldn't do it except by the grace or the ability that God supplies. And so, but we have to be in a place in our lives where we're willing to say, Lord, I'm not my own. You're Lord. What would you have me to do? I'm willing to go where you tell me to go. I'm willing to go to a country if you want me to be a missionary. I'll go wherever. Would you tell God that? I'll go wherever you want me to go. Even if it's a snake-infested jungle, if that's where God told you to be, guess what? That's where He's going to be. God will be where He told you to be. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Amen. You know, sometimes, folks, we come together because we have similar interests, right? We have, sometimes people are into knowledge and education and, you know, they like to discuss deep things, you know, even deep theological concepts. You can get some theologians together, you know, in a panel, and they can impress each other and wow each other with what they know, but it can be so lacking in life. You know what I'm talking about? You can hear a sermon that is so well put together, you know, profoundly delivered, you know, and yet zero life without God. And the love of God, amen, it amounts to zero. You can just be a paycheck preacher, punching a clock, doing your duty. But if you're called, amen, God equips the called, amen? God places you where He wants you to be. We just need to be yes people when it comes to God. Lord, what would you have me to do? So this thing about I feel love today, you know? Can we love people who are rude to us? Can we respond with a kind word to somebody who's rude to us? That's the love of God, the ability that God alone can provide for us to do that. Can we truly love enemies? Unforgiveness, folks, is an example of us living not in God's love, but in self-love. We love ourselves. You know, the problem is, we love ourselves too much. The world has told us that, oh, your problem is you don't love yourself enough. Folks, according to the Word of God, the problem is that you love yourself too much. It's not that God has told us to love ourselves any less or any more. It's just that we're not focused on ourselves anymore. It's no longer I who live. That's where we need to be. It's no longer I. Get I out of the equation. Lord, I'm here for you. I'm here for my brother and sister. Let brotherly love, philo, that's really that Philadelphia, you know, the fellowship type of love, continue. We need fellowship love, amen? But most importantly, God has taught us to agapeo, a love one another, amen, without benefits. I think we have an element or a level of that here, don't you think? Don't you think the love of God is in this church? Amen. How many think that it would be awesome to have more of His love? Amen. So we need to do what? Pursue agape and desire or eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but not as the focus, but God's heart as the focus. As the desire of my heart is to know Him who is love, to be filled with His love, so that I am an expression of His love, regardless of the response, whether people love me back. If Jesus operated in eros love, He would have never gone to the cross. Jesus functioned in agape. He was agape. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. For God so agaped the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus came to love, heal, forgive. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And He came to give Himself away for you and I. I want that kind of life, that kind of love. I want to be like Jesus. And I can't be like Jesus unless I'm in Him and abiding in Him. And His love is in me. Are you hearing me today? We've got to spend time with Him, walking with Him, abiding in Him. If you do, you will be like Him. But you cannot be like Him unless you're in Him. The love of God came. 1 John 4:9, in this the agape of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great agape with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own agape towards us, and that while we were still sinners, you see it? Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. So often, folks, we will say to God, God, I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord. Or we'll sing a song that says, I love you, Lord. Do we? Do we love God if God doesn't do what we expect Him to do? Do we still love God if God takes something away that's precious to us? Do we still love God if life doesn't go the way we expected and maybe there's illness or injury or something unexpected that happens? Do we still love God? Are we still willing to do whatever God tells us to do, no matter where it is and what it is, because we really do love God and we're not in it for favors. We're not in it just for blessings. I'm saying, Lord, I give my life back. I give my body back. I'm going to love You back. I'm going to worship You for all that You've done. Do you hear it today? That's the love that we have for God. People that lay down their lives for the Lord, they have to love God more. Do we love God more than our husband? Do we love God more than our wife and our children? Do we love God more than anything or anybody else? Is that love for God superior to all other loves? Is it the true agape of God that says it's not about me and it's not even about my feelings anymore? I've been bought with a price and I owe Him. I know I can never pay God back. Amen? God knows you can't pay Him back. Because God first loved you anyways. It's called grace. You didn't deserve it. But I'm giving myself back. Last week, folks, I preached a message, God is calling you to serve Him. God is calling all of us to serve Him. But He's not calling us to serve Him with benefits. He's not calling us to serve Him because I want to serve Him in this area because I like doing that. He's calling us to serve Him, period. And it's according to what He says, not how I feel. And I have found out that good feelings follow faith. That when I do sometimes what I don't want to do, but I say, shut up, sit down, you're going to obey God. And I do what He says to do. I put God first and then prioritize Him above everything else. Then when I do what He says to do, the good feelings follow. Sometimes we're being led to the cart before the horse. We're just going wherever feels good. I go to that church because I feel good over there. And you come one Sunday, there's no feel good, and guess what? Well, you must have left. God's not in that place. I didn't feel Him today. I don't know if that's possible here, but I love to feel His presence. Amen? Don't get me wrong. He's my pleasure, though. I don't seek the worldly pleasure. We don't need. You know, how many have discovered that the world is just not satisfying you? You know, yeah, just a temporary thing, but then it's like, okay, now what? Let's go to the next pleasure. And done with that pleasure, go to the next pleasure. That's selfish love. It's with something in return. I'll come to this church because it's pleasurable over there. They have good music. You know? Whatever it might be. What motivates us? What are we motivated by? Are we motivated by my feelings? What I want, or by the love of God. And the love of God calls us to go into places that make us uncomfortable. But the love, like Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I can't help. I'm motivated by this kind of love to even go into places where I know I'm going to be imprisoned, I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to suffer physically as well as the emotional torment that He's under all the time because of His love, the love of God in Him and the motivation of God's love for His life that moved Him in the direction, not always where it was comfortable and convenient, but sometimes in the very difficult places. This is the kind of love, folks, that we must be motivated by. If we don't have that kind of love, we have to question whether we're in Christ. If Christ is in you, then that kind of love will characterize your life. Can I suggest to you that there are people that for years they have attended church. They have been in meetings. They have felt good in church. They'll even say, I feel good. They walk out that door, they're not feeling good anymore. Why? Because it was an external thing. But you have the love of God in you. You'll find Your pleasure is in Him. My greatest joy, my greatest privilege, my greatest pleasure is the Lord. He's the true joy giver. He's the satisfier of my soul. He makes me complete. The things the world gives are temporary, they're fleeting. Don't waste yourself living for those things that are passing away. Live for the Lord and the will of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. For God so loved the world. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more, but I want you to think about Peter, folks. Peter was with Jesus. Peter experienced the miracles of Jesus. Peter walked on the water. Peter saw Jesus, you know, fill his boat with fish. Life was good with Jesus, you know. But Peter was the one that denied Jesus when the chips are down. Because Peter didn't realize it, but the love that he had was not the agape love. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? What did he say? Lord, you know that I... What? Phileo. Fellowship. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. You see, the natural love we have will not keep us when it comes to persecution. You've got to have the love of God in you so that you will be able to stand up and not run in fear. The disciples all ran. Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him. Peter thought he was doing the right thing by trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Amen? Well, who would want Jesus to go to the cross? I wouldn't. I'd probably be just like Peter. Lord, no, not you. Peter didn't mean anything by that. But Peter didn't know that that kind of love that he was operating in was actually satanic. It was natural. It was earthly. It was sensual. It was demonic. It was the agape love of God that he needed. And that kind of love eventually would motivate Peter to be willing to give his life for Jesus. Not even to be crucified, as legend has it, like Jesus, but to be crucified upside down. Agape love is loving something that's really has very little value. Agape love is loving something or someone that can't do anything back for you. Helping somebody. You may never see him again, but the love of God would motivate us to help somebody in time of need. Amen? Sometimes the love of God will cause us to refuse to help somebody because you're not helping them by helping them. Peter didn't, and Jesus didn't interfere in Peter's life. He didn't tell Peter what to do. He didn't even say, Peter, I prayed that that won't happen, that you won't deny me. He says, I'm just praying that your faith would not fail. Because in order for you to learn, you're going to have to fall on your face. You're going to have to fail. And you're going to have to realize that your strength is not enough, that your love is not sufficient. You need to have me and you, my life. Receive the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter became another man, didn't he? The same one that denied him was the one that rose up to preach that first message. Thank you, God. But he didn't do it out of selfish ambition. There was a different Peter. You and I, same thing. We have to question why we do what we do. Do I have the agape love of God? Would you just bow your heads this morning with me? I want to read this to you as you just please listen. This is reading from Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Maybe you take a moment right now between you and the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your own heart today. If the Spirit of God has been dealing with you, the Spirit of God deals with me all the time. I'm just here to confess that. But I want to listen to God when He's speaking to me. Amen. If God is dealing with your heart today, it also means that He's going to provide the grace that you need right now to overcome. Would you talk to the Lord right now? Maybe we need to confess to the Lord that, Lord, I thought I understood what love is, but maybe I don't. But I want to know your love. I want to know the love of God that passes knowledge. I want to be filled with your agape love, Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you died in my place, that I should no longer live for myself, but I should live for you now, who died for me and rose again. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to give you my life again. I give you my heart, and I ask you to take it. I ask you to break it. I ask you to heal it. And I ask you to fill me with your holy presence and shed your love abroad in my heart by your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live and walk in you, to abide in you, and bear the fruit of love, agape, in my life. And I'll be willing to do whatever you say and go wherever you send and open my mouth even for you, because I love you with the love of the Lord. Teach me to love my brother and sister, to love my neighbor as I love myself, to love with the love of the Lord. God, I pray for this church this year that we will go deeper in your love. Lord, that we will be willing to pay the price, to be identified with you, that we will not shrink back in fear, but that we will stand in the perfect love of God that casts out fear. Shed your love abroad, God. Pour into us, Lord, this year. Take us higher, take us further, take us deeper as a church. God, I want to be known in this community as a church that truly loves. Not with an agenda, but we just love because your love is in us and working through us. Hallelujah.